Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. Thank you, musicians. Very nice to be with you again on this lovely Wednesday evening for our midweek service. And I'm just so thankful for all that he's done and all that he's doing and all that he will continue to do. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. It's a simple thought here tonight, but I believe if you'll take it to heart, it'll benefit you tonight for sure. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, and then we'll read a familiar scripture once again from Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Matthew chapter 11, and verse 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You mean we don't have to be heavy laden? We could admit that we were heavy laden and we labored under it, but there's a rest that's promised to us. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I'm not going to call him a liar tonight and say, "Oh, this burden is so heavy." He said his burden is light. Amen. So we can self-impose some burdens if we choose to. But if we lay our burdens down at his feet, he's promised us rest and that the burden will be light. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I felt something already. I know that I'm in the right place and I'm preaching the right thought at the right time. It's the devil that wants to fight the word of God. I just quoted the word. Why would anybody be upset over that? Well, you aren't, but spirits are. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Aren't you glad that the word teaches you how to think? The Lord add his blessing to the reading word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand before you for this midweek service, Lord, we're a needy people. Father, we just ask that you administer your word to each and every one according to our needs. We know that the only way to change our thinking is to think new thoughts, to think different thoughts, and to be willing to let go of thoughts that maybe we're dwelling on or meditating on that are not fruitful, that are burdensome. We have confidence here tonight knowing that your thoughts are not burdensome, they're not heavy, but they're liberating and they actually lift us up. They don't beat us down, they lift us up. And you told us yourself, "Whom the Son has set free is free indeed." So Lord, we want to walk in the liberty that you've given us. We want to walk in that peace. We want to fully recognize what you purchased for us at Calvary, and we want to display it, Lord. We want to be able to say, "This is that," concerning whatever it is that you've spoken. "This is that," because this is what you're doing, and this is how you're manifesting it in this hour in human flesh once again. Bless each and every one, Lord, those that are listening in, those that are out sick here tonight, Lord. We ask your blessings to be upon them. We thank you for bringing others back amongst us. And Father, as always, we give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to read a statement from the Message Law, 1955. Brother Branham says, "Now Paul, speaking here of the valley or the shadow, rather the law being a shadow of good things to come, could never make the worshiper perfect." Then he goes on to show what perfection is. Now, it's a strange thing that it is so much thought of people. They say, "Well, I'm weak. My faith is not very much. I'm not a very good Christian." You mean there's different kinds of Christians? There's good Christians, bad Christians, mediocre Christians, hot ones, cold ones. "I'm not a very good Christian." He says, that's just what the devil wants you to say. Where did that thought come from? Didn't come from the word. The word never said you're not a very good Christian. Amen. If it did, tell me what verse, tell me what chapter, tell me what book. You're just talking his language right then. Isn't that amazing? We can speak the devil's language and never say one cuss word. Amen. See, you mustn't never say that. Don't never let your testimony be negative. Unless you're feeling sorry for yourself, then by all means. You've got lots to feel sorry for yourself for, you know. You've been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. You were going to hell. Now you're going to heaven. It's granted for you to sit with him in his throne, even as he overcame and have seated at his Father's throne. And you'll be sitting with him, ruling and reigning throughout eternity. And I do see why you're sad. You must never say that. Don't never let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive when you're at church. Well, that would be nice. Sometimes it's not even popular positive here. Let it be positive all the time. I am saved. I have God in my heart. I believe him with all my heart. Do you believe in divine healing? With all my heart. Let your testimony always, your thoughts, everything, never permit a negative thought to come in your mind if you can help it. When it starts that, don't entertain it. So we know that negative thoughts are going to come. I mean, that's why we dwell on negative thoughts. They come from somewhere. They don't come from God, but they come from somewhere, right? Never permit a negative thought to come in your mind if you can help it. When it starts that, don't entertain it. See, we have a choice. The greatest battle ever fought is being fought right now. And the last and greatest battle, the battleground is the human mind. When it starts that, don't entertain it. Well, you say, well, I can't help the thoughts from coming. Well, that'd be like the farmer that said he couldn't stop the birds from flying over his place. But he sure could stop them from roosting. So that's a good thing, you see. You can't help the thoughts when they come, but don't entertain them. That's three don'ts. Don't entertain them. Just pass it on. No, sir. Jesus Christ is my Savior. All things are mine by God. And I'm going to keep them. I'm going to testify of them. My testimony is going to be positive. And if I'm talking about him, there's no way that it couldn't be positive. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I want to title the thought here tonight, Traveling Light. Traveling Light. And God can only bless you as you confess that he's done it for you. So you can't have a negative confession and be blessed of God. It has to be a positive confession. Confessing what he's done for you. See, he's the high priest of your confession. Is that right? Hebrews 3. He said that he's the high priest of our confession. He can only do for us as we accept it, believe it, and confess it. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. So Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 11, as we read tonight, that if we come to him, we can find rest for our souls. And every one of us, we're all born in sin. We were all born with a fallen nature, and we labored against sin. We were taught right from wrong, and we would try to do what was right, and we'd try to avoid doing what was wrong. But we found that we couldn't always do what was right. And we found ourselves doing things that were wrong, maybe when we didn't even intend to. And it continued to heap up upon us. It laid a burden upon us that we're carrying around. Because sin is a load that we carry around. And so he starts out by saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What are we laboring over? We're laboring over that sin nature. We're laboring to live right. We're laboring to do right. We might even labor to try to save ourselves. And it's an effort. It's work. It's a burden. You see, he knows that you are laboring under a load of sin and under a load of unbelief, and that it's a heavy burden to carry. And we look everywhere trying to find rest from carrying that upon our shoulders. And it's not to be found outside of Christ. We might try to let off the pressure by drinking or taking drugs or going shopping or going on vacation, whatever. Nothing wrong with shopping or going on vacation, but it will not relieve you of your load, your burden, and your cares. So he knows that we're laboring under a load and that it's a heavy burden to carry. And we look everywhere trying to find a way to get this off of our shoulders. But he promises us that if we come to him, we're going to find rest when we lay our burdens down at his feet. It's a promise. So you can't lay your burdens down at his feet and still be burdened. He promises if we come to him, we'll find that rest. And then he instructs us to learn of him and to find out that he's meek and lowly, to learn his ways, and then to take his yoke upon us. And his yoke that we take upon us, we're not really carrying that yoke. We're like two oxen under a yoke. He's carrying that burden. Amen? We're not carrying it. The only way that you even know that it's there is when he's going this way and you try to go that way. You'll feel a little gentle tug, right? Because he's not going to go that way with you, right? If you're yoked together, so his burden is light and his yoke is easy, he says. So it's, you know, they will take dog sled teams, and they will put one with experience next to one that's new so that it can learn from that other one. They'll take oxen and do the same thing. They'll take horses and do the same thing and yoke them together, and that's how they learn. So the yoke is easy, the burden is light, he says. Friends, it's not a burden to follow after him. It's a burden to try to follow religion. It's a burden to try to follow do's and don'ts. But it's no burden to follow after him. In fact, that's the only rest that you will find. The only way you can rest is when you're walking with him. So it's not a burden to follow after him. And there is peace and there is rest for us every day. And under any circumstance, if we're yoked to him, there will be trials every single day. But you can find rest and you can find peace each and every day if you're yoked to him and you've laid your burdens down. But what we find too often, friends, is that people are continuing to bear burdens after coming to the foot of the cross. They're holding on to things in their past. We'll touch on a few examples of that here tonight. But as long as you and I are trying to bear those things, well, we're not at rest. And everything seems hard for us because you're carrying it around with you. Each night, we lay down with that load on our shoulders. And then each morning, we get up and we immediately feel the pull on our shoulders once again of that heavy load, and our day starts out with a load on our back. And some struggle even to get up in the morning because they are so heavily weighed down with the burdens that they laid down with the night before, with the cares of this life, and with the things that they choose to continue to carry that he told us to lay at his feet. But God doesn't want us carrying loads on our back, friends. Plain and simple. As we journey through this life, you need to travel light. And we're going to talk about that here for a few minutes tonight. You see, it's hard to do things when there's a weight on your shoulders. When you're carrying a backpack, you know. I was just mindful of that here recently, you know, with the diet that we went on. I've lost the amount of weight that I normally carry in a backpack when I grow up in the mountains. And Brother Andy and I were out glassing a few weeks ago out there in the Rincons, and going up the hill, I could really tell a difference. I felt like there was a whole lot less. I was carrying much less of a load, right? Even though I had a small backpack on my back with water and binoculars, a few things, I was lighter, much lighter than I was before. And you could tell the difference. You can go farther. You've got more endurance. You're actually enjoying it because you've got a whole lot less weight that you're carrying, right? So there's the load of sin, first and foremost, that we need to get off of our shoulders. And when we come to Him, when we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, there is a load that's lifted off. And that's where people, that's why people jump and shout, and because they feel this load lifted off of them. They're no longer worried about their future. They're no longer worried about whether they're going to go to hell or not. They're no longer worried about whether they've found forgiveness, because they know that they've found it. And they know that they are experiencing unmerited favor. Unmerited favor, which is grace. So there's a great load that's lifted off. And a lot of times people think that was the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No, that was the experience of coming unto Him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You experience that, but then you begin to walk with Him. You begin to learn of Him. You don't know a whole lot about Him other than He's your Savior when you give your heart to Him, and that He's worthy and you're not, and that He paid the price for you and carried your sin with Him to the cross. But you don't really know much more about Him, and so now you need to start learning of Him and to take His yoke upon you. And as you start learning of Him, you're not just finding rest from that load of sin any longer, but you're finding rest in your soul. You're finding that peace that passes all understanding that only He can give. So first thing is we labor against sin, and then He takes that off of our shoulders, and we just feel so free and so excited, and we're smiling, and seems like we've got a lot more energy because we're not carrying this big, heavy load. We labored against sin, and we couldn't be free of it. So it went with us wherever we went. You tell a lie as an example, and then you have to try to keep your story straight. You know, when you hear that old saying, honesty's the best policy, not only is it the best policy, it's the easiest policy. Because if you tell the truth, you don't have to worry about which story you told which one. Well, I've heard of this. I've heard of people having to struggle against that. So you carry with you a fear of being found out, right? And that's a load. And it affects you. It affects your behavior. It affects your interactions. And it wears on you. It takes energy from you. And sap strength from you, right? You carry fear of being alone. You carry fear of maybe not being able to make it in life, or being a failure, or not being able to provide for yourself, or being thrown out on the street. But when we come to Him, we lay our burdens down, and we learn of Him, and we take His yoke upon us, and we walk with Him and He with us, and our worries are over. And most of us have laid down our burden of sin at His feet. So most of us no doubt know what I'm talking about here tonight, because you've experienced that liberating peace that comes when that load is removed. That you can say, it is well with my soul. It is well between me and my Maker. That wall that was between us has been removed. But then there are other things that we continue to carry with us throughout life that can weigh heavily on us and can restrict our movement and affect our peace, affect our will, our well-being, affect the rest that we've been called to partake of in this life. For instance, we can carry around with us memories of being mistreated and never really deal with that. Well, guess what? That's a burden. Right. And it'll weigh down on you. And if anybody spends much time around you, they'll see that burden that you're carrying. Because it'll affect your behavior. It'll affect interactions with other people. You'll tire easily. Why? Because you're carrying a load. We can carry grudges, right? And the root of carrying grudges is not forgiving, right? And so if we don't forgive, and then we harbor grudges, that weighs on us. Just imagine that you know what I'm talking about here tonight. Imagine maybe that you know somebody, all these angels out here. Somebody that's maybe, friends, we've all have to learn this. Every one of us. Because as sincere as you are, you don't even know what you're carrying until the Lord reveals it to you and you lay it down. And then there's such a peace that comes with it. And you're thinking, man, why didn't I lay that thing down sooner? We can, as I said, we can carry grudges. And grudges are, you know who gets hurt with a grudge? You do. If you're carrying that grudge, you're the one that's hurt by it. We can carry mistrust with us and go from church to church to church because we don't trust, right? And it's a burden. It's heavy because everything that we do, we run it through that filter. Well, can I trust? Or, you know, how far can I go? It limits our motion. It limits our walk. We can carry the burden of self-pity. Now, friends, I know about these things. I've done it. I carried a heavy burden of self-pity. And that heavy burden of self-pity, the deceit, the horrible thing about it was I was right. This wasn't right in the way I was treated, or that wasn't right. But then you were victimized, but now you continue to be a victim as you're carrying it around, but you can lay it down. Amen. We can carry melancholy feelings. And if we're not careful, we can exalt those melancholy feelings and think that they're special and think that it's something that we should nurse. And friends, we all have feelings. And if you don't have feelings, you're dead. But and we will all have melancholic feelings and experiences throughout life, of course. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a melancholy feeling where every day's a funeral. A melancholy feeling where there's just no way you can be happy because of this melancholy feeling, right? That's a burden. That's a load. And it's not just special for some people to be able to lay that down and others not. Amen? A few years back, Micaiah and I went on a hike on the Appalachian Trail, a portion of it, and I think we might have done 30 miles, something like that, over a week with some of the brothers. And we did our preparations ahead of time. We looked at maps. We looked at where the places were for drinking water. Actually, the first thing we did was, what segment of this trail do we want to cover? And we had come to the conclusion that Shenandoah National Forest, or National Park, I should say, would be a good segment. It's real, real pretty. It's lots of feedback on it. And so we chose that particular segment, and we looked at where water was. We looked at our gear, you know, if our pack was too heavy, we got a lighter pack. We didn't bring heavy sleeping bags. We had to spend some money, but we got sleeping bags that weighed 2 pounds, you know, so you're counting pounds and ounces even. We decided, rather than trying to bring a tent, that we would sleep in hammocks, and so we did our research and found some 1 pound hammocks, and you know, so everything, you're weighing everything out, and you're counting how much it weighs, and you get the dehydrated foods, and you look for the ones that don't weigh much, and you're carrying that along. There's no getting around the water. You got to carry a certain amount of water, and then refresh that each day. But you know, there's a little gas stove, a little small water purifier, so you can purify water when you come to it. So you kind of get the idea, right? You're going to go out on this trail. And so you're trying to strike a balance here. Okay, what do I really need to protect my life and to get through this? And what would be nice to bring along, you know? Extra set of clothes, another pair of shoes, sandals or whatever, a towel, a little chair that can fold up, a tripod chair. It's only a pound, right? But all that stuff adds up, right? And so in my case, I overachieved, and I think I had, I don't know, somewhere between 45 and 50 pounds in my pack, and we started out. And I suffered the first day, and I suffered half of the second day. Pretty sure it was towards the end of the second day, we came to a stop somewhere, and I said, this is ridiculous. You know, I'm not enjoying this. I'm carrying this load around with me. When you're carrying that load, there's beautiful sights to see, but you're missing it because all you're thinking about is the, you know, you're readjusting, you're pulling the pack back up because it's slipping, and then you're blaming it. Well, this pack isn't made very well. You know, I bought a good one, and it was a, actually, Brother John bought me a real good one, a Gregory pack, and must be something wrong with it. Maybe it's my build. Maybe it's the way I'm shaped, and that's why it keeps kind of slipping down, and got to get the weight off my shoulders. And so it's all about the pack, and it's all about what you're carrying, right? And I finally got to the point where I thought, this is ridiculous. You know, there's a lot of things that are niceties that I'm carrying in that pack, but it's a load. And so when we came to one of these stops, other people had done it. There's you know, thousands of people literally that hike that trail every year, and people leave things behind, and other people pick it up and use it. And so I finally bit the bullet and unloaded about 15 pounds worth of stuff, you know, the extra clothes. What do you need that for? Well, you don't want to smell bad. Well, do you want to survive or worry about how you smell? Right? This chair, who needs that, right? On and on and on. So I ended up getting down to somewhere between 30 and 35 pounds, including the water that I was carrying. And now all of a sudden, wow, this pack is great. You know, it fits just right. Well, it was designed to carry 35 pounds. If you read the instructions, that's what it's designed. Well, they should make it carry more. No, you don't need more than that. You think you do, but you end up carrying a bunch of junk that you don't need to carry, and it affects you. It makes you miserable. And if you're not careful, it'll make other people miserable too. So I'll tell you what, it was relieving to get that burden off my back. We ran into different kind of hikers that were on this Appalachian Trail. There's the what they call the through hiker, and then there's what they call the segment hiker. And the segment hiker will go out and say on a weekend, you know, do a segment, do an 8-mile segment or 16-mile segment, whatever it might be. And so these are people that come, you know, they put their backpack on, they got their stoves, they got this, they got that. They got all the goodies, they're not going to suffer, and they'll do a segment. And you can recognize them because they got this heavy burden, and they're going like this, you know, and they'll cover a segment. And then there's what's called the through hiker. And you look at the through hiker, it's amazing. Just if you talk to them, just see them, you can see there's a difference between the through hiker and the segment hiker. The through hiker is going to try to, you know, maybe go all the way or cover a month's worth or whatever. This one is not just out there for the weekend. Not out there. And so you look, and here I've got these heavy boots with real good tread, you know, and they lace up. They got these metal hooks, and right? You look at them, they got tennis shoes on. And you think, tennis shoes? No way. Well, it's working for them, right? You look at their pack, and it's a small pack. There's not room in there for an extra set of clothes. And yeah, they smell. You can smell them when they come by, but they'll wash up a little bit at the next water hole, whatever. But there's a spring in their step. They pass you. They pass you. right? They're enjoying the hike. And all they're carrying is what they need to carry. And they know also that some dummy's going to carry too much stuff and leave it at a spot, and they can borrow that for a little while if they need to. Completely different way of hiking, completely different type of a person. We ran into, on Sister Baker's hunt here in October, we ran into some hikers that were hiking the Arizona Trail. And one of them was a through hiker, and you could just tell getting around him. Well, besides the smell, forget that. And these other ones were doing a segment. And just, it's, one of them has got a long-term goal. The other one is, you know, just, well, we'll just do this for a day or a week or whatever, and maybe come back and do some more. And there are people, like with the Appalachian Trail, there are people that will once a year do maybe a week. And over their lifetime, they'll cover the whole 1,500 miles or whatever it is of the trail. And then there are others that kind of just take time off from life and will spend 4 months or whatever on that trail, starting in Alabama, I believe, and head up towards Maine, and they'll hike right through. So you need to know what it is that you're carrying, and you need to look and see, do I really need this? You know, I forget who we were talking with here the other day, Sister Baker and I, about stuff that we accumulate in our lives, right? Well, I'm not going to get rid of that. I could use that. Yeah, and when are you going to use it? We don't want to get rid of something that's useful, right? But then it ends up as clutter, and so obviously you got to get a bigger house. So you do, and it's amazing how quick it fills up. Travel light. Travel light. Don't carry a bunch of baggage. Don't carry... So I'm carrying all this stuff that might bring me comfort, and I'm uncomfortable because I'm carrying all this stuff that might make me comfortable. See the irony in that? Things in our past, things in our subconscious, things that we never dealt with in our lives. We carry those with us throughout our journey. And it becomes a load. And friends, God wants us to lay those things down. God wants us to lay them at His feet. Because if you don't, then you're allowing your past to control your future. You're carrying all that extra stuff in this pack, and it's hard to move around. You know, when you're carrying a heavy load like that, you can barely do things for yourself, let alone for somebody else. And when you're carrying that heavy load, all you can think about is your needs and your burdens. And if we're not careful, we'll complain to other people and we want sympathy from them. And they say, well, why don't you just, you know, that extra set of pants, why don't you just leave? Oh, no, I can't do that. See, you're choosing to hold on to it, right? And it becomes a burden, but it's self-imposed. Somebody say praise the Lord. I know this is kind of an odd thought, but it's important this evening, friends. Taking people at their word is so much easier than guesswork. And we can carry around with us complexes, we can carry around with us memories, church experiences, father figure experiences, teacher experiences, brother and sister experiences, whatever it might be. And we can allow those experiences to shape how we interact with other people, right? And it becomes a burden. For instance, if you've been lied to, people have taken advantage of you, you carry that around with you, and you start second-guessing people's motives and objectives and what they mean by what they say or what they're trying to do. Or how about this? Well, I don't believe what that person told me, right? And I'm just sure that they're lying to me. Fact is, most of the time, you're not sure. You don't know, right? But you choose to interpret what that person said to you as a lie, and then it affects how you interact with them, and you're carrying around a burden and a heaviness. Friends, the easiest thing, and I know the next thought that's going to come, because this is what the devil does to everybody. We need to take people at their word, right? If their word's no good, that's on them. And it'll come around, and that'll be on them. But you don't need to carry the burden of wondering and worrying and think you got to defend yourself or whatever. Take them at their word. And it's the easiest thing that you can do, because you're not having to sort through. You're not having to sift through. Just take them at their word. Brother Branham said, everybody starts out right here in my book. He says, now, if they want to bring themselves down, that's up to them, right? But I'm going to think highly of them, and I'm going to treat them like I would treat everybody else. I'm going to treat my enemy, my friend, everybody. I'm going to treat them well. If they want to bring themselves down, that's up to them. Conspiracy theory is a burden, and it's a weight, because you carry that around with you, and it shapes, you know, these black helicopters are going to come, and they're unmarked, and, you know, these things set up by FEMA, you know, Federal Emergency Management, whatever. You know, I've seen the picture, and they've got fences around these places. And guess what? You know that portion that's at the top that has concertina wire and barbed wire on the top? Instead of it facing out so that nobody can come in, it's facing in. So obviously, they're going to put people there. That's what that's for. Now you're starting to worry. Now you're starting to be afraid. Oh, the United Nations is linked into this. You don't know any of that. And it becomes a burden. It becomes a heaviness. And it becomes a worthless conversation piece. Well, what if? Well, what if? Deal with it when it comes. There's enough to deal with that we know is fact without having to deal with conspiracy. We're told to lay aside those things that easily beset us, right? They become burdens. They become heavy. You know that Jesus had one robe? When they parted his garments, it was one garment. He didn't have an extra one. And he didn't go around saying, oh, you know, poor me, I'm on the poverty level, and I'm about to run out of food stamps. And right? Had no place to lay his head, but you wouldn't know it. Reading the gospel, you wouldn't know that he didn't have two oxen and three carts and, you know, properties all over the place. You wouldn't know that. We're told to take no thought of tomorrow. Is that right? Matthew 6:34, I believe it is. Take no thought of tomorrow, for sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof for this day. Let tomorrow take care of itself. But if you're worrying about tomorrow today, guess what that is? That's a burden. If you're worried about 6 months from now, a year from now, guess what that is? That's a weight that you're carrying around. It's a burden. It's a load. It will sap your strength. It'll rob you of your peace. It'll rob you of rest. Today is the only thing that you should give thought to. Should put a little money away for retirement. And if that money is not there when you retire, well, at least you did what you knew to do. And if the Lord comes before then, you're not going to complain, man, I wish I'd have spent that. Travel light. This walk is the easiest walk that there is, if we will embrace it and walk in it as he's asked us to walk in it. It really is the best walk that there is. So if we're walking as we should walk as Christians tonight, as sons and daughters of God, every single day should be a new day. And when you get up, there should be anticipation every single day. There should be no thought. You should put away whatever happened the day before, and you should deal with the day before the day ends. Before you lay your head down to rest, anything that needs to be dealt with, any issues, any bad feelings, deal with it, right? So that when you do lay down, you don't have a load of bricks on your shoulders. People say, oh, I can't sleep. Yeah, you went to bed with a bunch of burdens on your shoulders, right? It's all of it's our thinking. It's our thoughts. So we should, you know, excuse me, I don't know if this is true, but we usually undress before we go to bed. Maybe we'll put on some clothing that's special for just going to bed. But you usually don't have that belt that's, you know, tied around your waist to hold your belly up. And you can take that off, right? And you don't have the tight shoes on, or, you know, the shirt that's so tight that you can't breathe, or you're not wearing a tie when you go to bed, right? You take all that off before you lay down, so you're unburdened before you lay down. And then when you wake up in the morning, it's a new day. And you should be anticipating a good day. And you should be planning on a good day. And you should be looking forward to, well, Lord, what do you have in store for me today? What good things are laying in my future today? Somebody say, praise the Lord. When we procrastinate, when we put things off, we're not traveling light. It's a heaviness that we carry around. And when we finally get that thing off, it's like a huge load was lifted, but it's like that was self-inflicted. We lose loved ones along the way. Now, friends, that's just part of life. They can feel it already. Why is it that I can lose my parents and not fall apart, but it's okay for you to fall apart because you loved yours? Oh, I didn't love mine? Well, you cared more for your parents. Is that true? Listen, it is absolutely natural and healthy to mourn your loved ones. And if you aren't mourning their passing, something's wrong with you. But there's a season for that. We go through that. We mourn. It's actually a cleansing process. Science has actually even proven that the process of tears coming out of your eyes is somehow carrying negativity out of your body. It's carrying bad feelings out of your body. And friends, we all know that we've had a good cry at times, and you feel kind of washed out afterwards. You feel better. You can't explain why it is that you feel better, but you let it flow. Instead of keeping it bottled up on the inside, right? So it's Jesus wept, showing us that it's natural, right? But then, so there's a time to grieve, but then there's a time to go on. And if we don't go on, we're carrying a burden around with us. And it's not like we won't see that person again. We will. Praise the Lord. When we carry loads, we're actually not trusting God. And we're not fully believing either. Because we're trying to do something. And we're trying to hold on to something. Or hold it together. You hear that a lot of times. Well, I'm just trying to hold it together. It's not for you to hold together. Put it in His hands. Praise the Lord. You know, when Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, He wasn't talking about your burdens, right? What He was speaking about was you dying to yourself, you choosing to die to yourself so that Christ can live through you, right? But He's not telling you to literally take some cross and go, oh, I can just barely, and then fall down and somebody's got to pick you back up, and right? He's not talking about that. He's not talking about, well, you need to carry a burden. He's talking about you dying to yourself daily that Christ can live. And part of dying to yourself is offloading your burdens. Now, we will bear a reproach for if we walk with him. We will bear the reproach of the word. But while we're bearing that reproach, he's our comfort. He's our strength. He's our peace. He's our rest. He's everything that we have need of. So every night when we go to bed, friends, we should lay down without a care in the world. You know why we have trouble getting to sleep a lot of times? Because we lay down with a bunch of burdens. We lay down with unfinished business. We lay down with bad feelings that we didn't resolve. We're told, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Right? Deal with it so that you don't wake up. You'll have bad dreams. You'll have a tossy, turvy night. You wake up in the morning and now you're plotting on how to get even. Or no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to do the silent treatment. And if they ask me a question, I'm going to give them one-syllable answers. Well, who's that hurting? Come on, friends. I've seen some of you do that at church. How you doing? Okay. Doesn't look like it. You mind telling your face that? Because your face is telling me something different. Who's it hurting? And people do that to try to get at somebody. But the person they're trying to get at, they... Okay. I'm having a good day. So every night, we should be able to say, it is well with my soul. This is a secret, friends. This is a key. This is a key to a Christian walk. I remember... You know, there were different prayers, different things we were taught when we were little. You know, there's, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should live for other days, I pray the Lord to guide my ways. Amen, right? I had a picture hanging in my office. Actually, it was the office in the other church. I still got to get it put back up here somewhere at some point. But it's a picture of an angel, and he's got a spear. And there's a little boy who's sleeping in the bed, and he's got a pillar of fire in his hand. I'm not saying this is scriptural. But what is scriptural is an angel watching over you. And the look on that angel's face is, I dare you. Don't you dare come by this one. I'm watching over this one. We should be able to rest when we lay down. Because it's not up to us to protect ourselves. He said, I will be with you, even in you. I will keep you. It would be better for someone to be, for a millstone to be tied around somebody's neck and for them to be cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. Their angel is watching over them. But how about this one? God, give me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Right? The term is serenity, but it's peace. Yeah, it's serene. Okay, there's nothing I can do about it. Not going to worry about it. Oh, the boss, he kind of looked at me a little different and It's coming up to promotion time, and I might not this and that, and I might get a bad review. Okay, so what is worrying about it going to do? And most of the time, it's baseless. When you get a revelation that your boss was put there by God, when that revelation breaks on you, that everything about your life is ordered, and everything that you're going through is ordered, and God is watching over it, and that it's all for your training, and that God will make it all work for your good, then you'll be able to rest at work, you'll be able to rest at school, you'll be able to rest out in traffic, in the mall, wherever it is, because God's going to work it all out. And this is not going to disintegrate you or blow you up or take you down. You should get up every morning with optimism. You should get up every morning, and when somebody asks you how you're doing, don't start with, well. You should get up every morning and say, I'm doing great. This is a good day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. You should be full of hope. You should be full of faith. You should be full of optimism. You should talk things over with your Father first thing in the morning when you get up. You should say, should I do this and should I do that? And whatever you're leading me to do, I want you to prosper. Take me safely. If I'm supposed to go to work, Lord, I ask that you take me safely to work. I ask that you bring me home. And Lord, I'm asking, if it isn't too much to ask, Lord, I'd like to have a good day. And if things come against me that would challenge my good day, give me the peace to face it and go through it. And not get an attitude over it. Or not get stalled. Not get sidelined. But to commit it in your hands and get through this day. And whatever I pick up, help me to lay it down before this day is over. Every day should be new. Every day. But if you're carrying a load, you're already predicting what kind of day you're going to have tomorrow. Because your past is controlling you. And guess where your past is? On your shoulders. It's on your back. Well, tomorrow's probably not going to be a very good day. Well, you said it. Probably won't. But why would you say that? Well, because yesterday wasn't. So what does yesterday have to do with tomorrow? Are they connected? Every day is new. You aren't happy with how yesterday ended? Remember, today is a new day. So we should get up every morning looking forward to whatever we're going to go through. Looking forward to whatever the Lord has in store for us. Because He's got good things in your future. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It's very difficult to remain positive when we're carrying a load around with us. Just look at those segment hikers. The through hiker walks by. How are you doing? Well, where's the next water hole? Here, you want to carry this for me? No, you shouldn't have brought it. Friends, it really is amazing. You would be shocked. Maybe we'll take that as an exercise. Maybe one of the next services we come in, if we touch bases on this again, maybe I'll list out for you what people take as through hikers. You'll be shocked. You'll think, oh, where's the pillow? Well, ask yourself, is the weight of that pillow that you're carrying on your back for 10 hours, is it worth the 8 hours that you're going to be sleeping on it? Right? Because you're paying a price for it. Right. I'm going to challenge every one of you to take this as a homework assignment. When you go home, I want you to unpack your life. I want you to look at what it is that you're carrying around with you. What is it that you think about every day? Write it down. What kind of thoughts come to your mind every single day? And is it a worry? Is it a fear? Or is it a hallelujah? Or a testimony? Or a vision of your future? It's hard to have a vision for your future when you're looking at the ground carrying this big, heavy load. We need to unpack.
Right.
I'm carrying this, you know, since junior high. I'm carrying that since this or that. Or my grandpa died when I was 6 and I'm still carrying it. I don't say that. I'm not trying to be funny, cute, or hurtful. But people do that.
Right. Sure.
My grandpa died when I was 6 and I've never been the same. Well, whose fault is that? He ran his race. He's gone. It's time for you to run your race. Don't you think somebody died while he was alive? Thoughts are everything. If there's a kid out on the street and he's stealing to eat because he can't get food any other way. And there's many times throughout history where, they weren't a Christian or whatever, and there really wasn't any other option. So you carry, and you get told that you're subservient, you get told that you're no good, that you're cannon fodder, whatever. And you think on those things, and you receive those thoughts, that becomes your view of yourself. Well, how are you ever going to rise above that and be something else if those are the thoughts that you're thinking? If you want to move from there to being successful and to having family and to being clean and having a house, or I'm just using this as an example. I'm not saying that that's the better life to aspire to, but if that's where you want to end up, it starts with thinking, right? But before you can think the right thoughts, somebody has to speak words to you, right? And you have to receive those words, and then they become thoughts, and you think on them. And they need to be words that challenge the way that you're living, that present a new reality to you, that present a new way of thinking. You can't live higher than you think. So we need higher thoughts. And that's why Paul was saying, whatsoever things are good, pleasant, virtuous, think on these things. Because as you think on them, that will become your future. That will become what you live. I want to read a few statements to you tonight, and we won't keep you much longer. Brother Branham says in the adoption message, part two, he says, now the first thing Paul starts out here, so he's talking about Ephesians paralleling Joshua and how Joshua places you, the Holy Spirit places you in the land. The book of Joshua in the Old Testament is a type of the Holy Spirit placing you in your land. In the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, he says, now Paul starts out here to tell the people, is to remember, this is to the church, not to the outsider. It's a mystery and riddles to him, and he'll never be able to understand it. Goes over the top of his head. He does no more know about it than nothing. But to the church, it's honey in the rock. It's joy unspeakable. It's the blessed assurance. It's the anchor of the soul. It's our hope and stay. It's the rock of ages. Oh, it's everything that is good. Right. For heavens and earth shall pass away, but God's word shall never pass away. His word is so good. Because his word produces thoughts. And they're wholesome thoughts. They're good thoughts. They're life-giving thoughts. They're prosperous thoughts. But the man outside of Canaan knows nothing of it. He's still wandering. So people outside of the word, they don't know these good thoughts. So they're still wandering around looking for something that's good. Not saying that he's not a good man. I don't say that. I don't say the man in Egypt's not a good man. But until he's come over into this possession, the promise that was given to the church is not a natural land, but a spiritual land. For we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Then in this royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people, called out, elected, chosen, set aside, then all the world is dead on the outside, and we are led by the Spirit. Sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. Not by man, but by the Spirit. Man will disappoint you, but he never will. All the love, the whole thing is bundled up now. This has been tried to be taught on many times, he says. And no doubt what great theologians has struck it a lot deeper than I could. But the thing I want to try to get to you is this. That a man that's in Christ with the Holy Ghost, he can bear with the man when he's wrong. He's long-suffering. He's gentle, patient, he's sweet, humble, faithful, filled with the Spirit, never negative, always positive. He's a different person. Now, friends, that's what the Holy Ghost produces. And if we're not seeing that in our life, I'm not saying you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, but we might be carrying a load around with us that's not allowing that to manifest in our life. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Being content is huge. And the only way you can be content is to be in Christ. But if there's a people on the face of the earth that ought to be content tonight, friends, whatever you have is what God thinks that you should have and what you need. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Americans are the most ungrateful people on the planet. And I've said it over and over and over. I'll repeat it again. I wish I could take every young person when they, you know, say they finish high school or whatever, or maybe while they're still in high school, I'd love to take them to a third world country. I'd love to take them out and let them see how the rest of the world lives. And I'd love to see the shocked look on their face when they realize that these people are content and they have nothing. And yet we've got everything and we're not content because it isn't enough. And the problem is that we're, instead of looking at what it is that we have, we're looking at what everybody else has and measuring ourselves against that. And we're not content because we don't have what the next door neighbor has or what this one has or what that one has. Right? And we let it rob us of our joy and our peace. Things will not bring you happiness. More things will not bring you happiness. It'll bring less. Now you got to figure out how to keep it as it corrodes on you, as the pack rats eat it. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich, they fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men in destruction and perdition. Drown men, excuse me, in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, growing up, I don't know how many times I heard this, and I misunderstood what was being said. Because it sounded like to me that money's the root of all evil. And yet money is, you know, it's how we exchange, it's how we get rewarded, it's how we earn. It's the love of money. When you're trusting, I won't be able to rest until I get this, and now I'm going to trust in this, right? For the love of money is the root of all evil, from which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Self-inflicted. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Again, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, Brother Paul says, let your conversation be without covetousness. So don't be, oh, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. Oh, look, they got that. We need to get one. Do you see that car over there in that driveway? We need one just like that. Wow, look at that motorhome. Yeah, look. What would it cost to fill a motorhome with gas now? It's like almost $4 a gallon, right? It's hard for me to fill up my truck, let alone think about a motorhome. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Amen. So if he's with you, what are you worried about? And it does take sometimes a trip to another country to cause you to realize, you know what? I am so blessed. If you're on the poverty level and you live here in America, you're blessed. Because you're still living better than 9/10 of the world. And if you doubt that, come with me on my next trip. We were talking, Sister Baker and I were talking to a wonderful family. Had dinner with them, and they're out in a village out there in Alaska. It's completely flat. It's barren. There's tundra, or there's snow. There's no roads. If you want to get somewhere, it's either a quad or a snow machine. Brother and sister Boy Scout finally got a nice sofa and chair. He admitted it's not the best thing around. You know, you might wish you had something better. I thought it was pretty nice. It wasn't top of the line, of course, but it was practical. And they've got grandkids, you know. And some of us have learned those lessons the hard way, you know. Not me. I actually learned those with my kids, you know. Get a brand new couch and you're just so happy with it, and till the Kool-Aid gets spilled on it, and till their diaper leaks or whatever. And we got a really nice leather chair when we moved in to the care home, and one of the patients immediately sat down in it and leaked, and it ruined that leather. I mean, it wasn't a day old. The worst part was you saw the reminder of it every time you looked at it, you know. So you learn, don't get something like that, you know. I remember my mom got cream-colored carpet one time. And upstairs, downstairs, we came to visit one of our kids, who shall remain nameless. We didn't see this particular child for a while, and it got real quiet. And we learned by experience that when things are quiet, it's usually not good. So we went to investigate. And this particular child had found Grandma's purse and found some mascara in Grandma's purse and took the brush out and started mascaring the carpet, the oatmeal-colored, cream-colored carpet with black mascara. And when we saw that, it's like, get me a rope. We can't afford this, and we're going to get killed. You know, how did my kid do this? Right? Well, kids are kids. It wasn't helpful, but I'm thinking, Mom, why'd you get a cream-colored carpet? Didn't you know you're going to have grandkids? I mean, it's hard enough for us. You got to take your shoes off for sure, because you never know what you're going to bring in, and hopefully your socks are clean, you know? Well, just think, if you had a dirt floor, you don't have to worry about it getting dirty, do you? We're not preaching poverty. We're preaching contentment. Being content with whatever it is that you have. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Do you realize what a burden lifter that is? Because worrying about what man will do unto you is a burden, and it's a weight. But to be able to boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He's my provider. He will take care of me. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I'm not going to worry about my future, because he's in control. Quickly, in questions and answers, question number 290. Brother Branham, what shall we do? Something is settled over me that I cannot break through. Last fall, I dreamed I was lost in white sand. It was getting dark. I couldn't find my way. This dream has stayed with me since last fall. Now, I am as one groping in darkness. Listen to her testimony. I am as one groping in darkness. My son, Irvin, and wife were included in my dream. Now they are also in darkness. I believe God will show you what it is, what is in our hearts now. Miss, oh, all right. If we are wrong or sinning places, tell us, we want to be right. Now, they've been carrying this burden around since last fall. This is August. So that's a whole year. August 23rd. So if they've been carrying it since last fall, fall usually starts around September, August, September. Here it is, August. So a whole year, and it's all based on one dream. And they've been bearing this. They've been doubtful. They've been worrisome. They're questioning whether they're right with God. They're questioning whether there's sin in their life. Are we listening tonight? You say it don't matter what you think. This is all based on thoughts. Every bit of it. He says, I don't know the lady, but I just feel it. If you're here, lady, here's your trouble. You've let something happen to you that's made you nervous. Notice this. You've let something happen to you that's made you nervous. I'm going to preach this till the Lord comes, if that's what it takes to get everybody here to understand you have control over what you think. You have control over how you feel. Oh, that's the one that we fight with. Oh, no, life's done this to me. Life's done that. This is all out of my hands. You have no control, perhaps, over what happened to you. You have total control on how you react to it. And if you don't see this, you will remain a victim. And you will carry that load around with you until you'll finally breathe a big sigh as you breathe your last breath. I'd hate to get over the other side to find out I could have enjoyed this. That I could have had peace and joy. I have to use words, but you have to be willing to receive the words and to cast down the thoughts that are in your mind that are contrary to the words that you're hearing. If you want a new reality, you've got to have some new thoughts. If you want to stay in that reality, well, it's the world of your choosing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We are in desperation, she says. I don't know the lady, but I just feel, if you're here, lady, that here's your problem. You've let something happen to you that's made you nervous. Because being in white sands, that represents purity and righteousness. So she's even, don't interpret your own dream. And please don't interpret somebody else's. A dream interpreted is prophecy. If you interpret it and say that it means this, you're saying, thus saith the Lord. And if you're wrong, you're calling God a liar. You are prophesying falsely. Just let that sink in. And you're just letting Satan put one over on you. Your dream proved that there's nothing wrong. You're only nervous And by doing this and thinking this, by doing this and thinking this, by doing this and thinking this, you're making the rest of your family nervous. You realize how does it go? Something Nelly? Some little clever phrase that I can't think of. I'll think of it tonight. I'll email you. One worrier in the family can upset the whole family. Make sure you lock the door. Make sure you unplug the dishwasher. You can do that? Really? Yeah. Why? Because it might start on fire. I heard that happen one time. Let's see, 1 in 1,000,000. It's probably going to happen to you. Right, okay. Maybe I shouldn't go out and get the mail. Somebody might drive by and run me over. You listen to that long enough. You don't have to be the source of it. You listen to it long enough, it'll rob you. It'll eat at you. Your dream proved that there was nothing wrong. You're only nervous, and by doing this and thinking this, you're making the rest of your family nervous. Stop doing it. I get this problem. Stop it. How do you like that for an answer? That usually makes people mad. Just stop it. Well, that's easy for you to say. Yeah, it is, because I ain't doing it. Now you stop doing it too. Stop it. Claim your God-given rights. Your dream proves by the interpretation that you are in white sand. Everything's all right. It's you yourself that's nervous. And you let one member of the family get nervous, it goes to the next member and the next member. And the first thing, you're all fussing and going on. And one member of the family kind of gets upset about something, and it upsets the other and the other and the other. And the first thing you know, the whole family's upset. It's Satan. Then if one member of the family rejoices, let the rest of them rejoice with it, so that every one of the family try to do that. Each one of your children, try each one of you children to help your papa, your mama. Papa, you try to help your children. Listen to this. I'm glad I'm finding these statements because I feel like I know where I'm standing when I preach on this stuff. But there's no authority unless I find a quote sometimes. And what I'm going to read to you, I've been telling you for months. Now, friends, it's the time that we're living in. The greatest battle ever fought, the pressure's on the mind. And we're all under that pressure. And we're all being tempted to throw in the towel. And we see gross darkness around us, and if we stare at it long enough, it's spooky. Try each one of you children to help your papa, mama, papa. Try to help your children. Don't let that gloomy, unbelieving spirit get around you. That gloomy, unbelieving spirit get around you. What is a gloomy, unbelieving spirit? Oh, my life is so hard. My life is a mess. You should feel sorry for me. That's a gloomy, unbelieving spirit. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I'm an overcomer. I have joy. I have peace. How's my day going? Wonderful. I've lived this. I was gloomy, doomy, whatever other clever word I could come up with. That was my life at one time. I'm not that anymore. And the difference was a new birth and a choice. Amen. Even with the new birth, I still have to make the choice. Amen. I choose to be happy. Amen. And I'm the only one responsible for my happiness. I choose to be content. You get around somebody that's just gloom and doom, it rubs off on you. It creates an atmosphere. Don't let that gloomy, unbelieving spirit get around you. You are Christians.
Yes.
You are born of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You're the salt of the earth.
Amen.
You have God-given rights. And the Bible said, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things.
Amen.
Don't think about the wrong thing. And sister, I think that's your trouble, dear sister, dear. I could dwell on that a long time, but according to what I promised, just 20 minutes, and I'd be able to just get to many of these. If it ain't, put it back on the desk, and I'll get to it again. Again, in the message, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me, he says, you know, it's when we begin to think about him, that's when he appears. And we got blind Bartimaeus, who's thinking about the Lord, and the Lord's not 100 feet away from him. It's when we begin to think about him when he appears. So if you're thinking about gloom and doom, don't expect him to come on the scene. You're not thinking about him. It's when Cleopas and them was thinking about him when he appeared. I started to tell you something about Alaska and I forgot. We were having dinner with this family and their 21-year-old son. I asked him, I said, so you're finished with school? Yeah. What was your favorite thing about school? Traveling and flying. Wow, we didn't do that in my school. I know we didn't fly. And we did do a little traveling, you know, maybe with the speech club or debate club. Or I wasn't into sports, but, you know, if you were into sports, maybe you do a little traveling. Come to find out that, you know, if you grow up in a village like that, as part of your education, you do need to travel so that you can see a tree for the first time. Because they have no trees. The things that we take for granted. The brother told me that some of these kids, they visited a school, they went into a cafeteria for the very first time. Had this tray, right? Put the food right on the tray, not on a plate, right on the tray. They didn't know any better. Well, how are you going to learn? Right? We take so much for granted. So that traveling that he was talking about was seeing all these other things that people do that they don't see. Right? And he does want to be a pilot. And that's within the realm of possibility in Alaska. You can still get a license and end up working as a bush pilot or whatever. We take so much for granted. I'm going to try and pull over here in just a minute. Let the meditation of my heart, and let all my thoughts, and let all my songs, and let all that I am just meditate on thee, Lord, day and night. That's the way to get God close to you. You want gloom and doom around you? Just meditate on it. Quit thinking about what the Joneses is doing and what you're going to do next week. And all this thing, just fill my way every day with love as I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile, fill my way every day with love. That's right. Go right on down the road. No matter what school keeps or not, if it don't, well, we turn the teacher out and just go right on believing on the Lord. Keep meditations upon God. Think on these things. The Bible said if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. Well, our thoughts are always negative. We come in a prayer line. I noticed we've come into this prayer line. Oh, if he will tell me, is it this? Oh my, you'll never get nothing like that. No, you're so negative to begin with. Come to the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. That's it. Come with faith believing. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him.
Amen.
Our dear brother came up for prayer, and the doctor had told him that the bottom part of his heart wasn't getting enough blood. They know these things. They did a stress test on him. He's going to need some kind of surgery or whatever. Well, they wanted to go in and, you know, do this. I can't remember what the other procedure is. And he came up and said, you know, let's just pray together. Let's just believe. Let's agree. We prayed together, believed. He's coming back with that report. There's nothing wrong with his heart. Well, he wasn't coming up trying to see what might happen. Sister Julie wasn't coming up trying to see what happened. And we could go on and on and on. These people are taking God at his word. They're thinking thought on the positive and not the negative. We shouldn't be surprised when it happens. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I'm not going to go through Oral Roberts' prayer line, and then go through Tommy Hicks' prayer line, and then go through Osborne's prayer line, and then A.A. Allen's prayer line, and then Brother Branham's prayer line, and so on and so forth's prayer line, so-and-so's prayer line. Go to this church, go to that church. Why, you're just wasting time, that's all. That's all. The thing to do is just make up your mind that it's God. God said so. I'm going to meet his requirements. That settles it forever. Amen. God said so. Amen. Go out to my pastor and say, Pastor, the Bible told us to call the elders, anoint them in oil. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's all I have to know. Amen. Amen. Again, he says, the only thing you have to do, he's here, is get yourself out of the way. See, as long as you're in the way, then God can do nothing for you. Listen to this. When you think your thoughts, then God's thoughts don't have a chance. I'll never amount to. That's your thought. When you think your thoughts, then God's thoughts don't have a chance. But if you'll quit thinking your thoughts and think his thoughts. My thoughts is not your thoughts, he said. If there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. Not what some church is going to say about it, but what God said about it. Like this little lady standing here shaking in the cot. That woman is going to lay like that all of her life unless she can get her faith set right straight on Jesus Christ. And no matter what comes or goes, it'll be revealed to her. Then there is nothing that's going to stop that healing. That's right. But when you, it depends on what you're thinking about. You see how important it is? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I've told several of you that this thought's been on my heart that we were going to bring it. And just waiting on the timing of the Lord. He says, if you'll just believe and have faith, God can do anything for you. And the greatest thing that he can do for you tonight is to sweep your soul right back into the presence of his being. Right back there to where every person in here, he says, just think. What if the Holy Ghost had everybody in here completely in his control? Think of what might take place tonight. Think what would take place in Shreveport by tomorrow night. They would have headlines everywhere. A bunch of people went crazy. They were healing the sick and raising the dead. They're doing all kinds of things down in Shreveport, Louisiana, United States, USA. They'd have it on the television of what they was doing if the Holy Ghost could take completely control. If you're thinking negative thoughts, there's no way the Holy Ghost is going to, because the Holy Ghost can't do anything with negative thinking. You got to think his thoughts, and then he'll act on his thoughts. Again, when a person realizes he has an inferior complex or some sort of a complex, how may he overcome this? Should it be if he was the only child that caused this in his early youth? He says, take exactly the opposite. Now notice, he didn't say, well, yeah, it's maybe because the only child, or where was he in the birth order, or how hard were things in his life? What was his teacher like? Was he called ugly? Don't even entertain any of that. How do I overcome it? Do the opposite. If you're always wanting your way, and that one little brat that wants to always have everything your way, turn right back around and give everything you got the other way. If you're selfish and you don't want to hold everything, then start giving away what you got. That's how you overcome selfishness. Do whatever, just go vice versa. If you're thinking negative thoughts, think positive thoughts. That's the way to overcome anything, is an antidote. My old Southern mother used to say, hair off the back dog's back is good for the bite. And that applies to this way too, he says. Again, from last one here, from Hear Ye Him. He says, now God never does nothing just like we do. We are just kind of a haphazard people that just stroll along. Well, if this happens, it's all right. And if that happens, it's all right. But God has a real definite meaning for everything that he does. And I believe that if we, his servants, would obey him, I believe the Bible said that the footsteps of the righteous is ordered of the Lord. And we should not just be gadding about from place to place. In other words, don't just take things lightly or for granted. We should always go and consider the Lord before we go. Do you do that when you leave home? Do you pray? Lord, help me to have a safe journey over where I am going to, going and back, ordering my steps today, that I'll not step out of your blessed path. But if I should make the wrong move, you'll warn me and bring me back into the right way again. If my tongue should start to speak things that was not right, will you just stop my tongue from speaking? How many experienced that? If you're willing to admit it, I have. Bring me back into the right place again. And if I should start thinking wrong thoughts, will you just change my way of thinking and let me think the right things? That's, it don't get any simpler or humbler than that. You have to choose, though. No, I am going to think good thoughts. And I'm, every time I start to mention something critical, I'm going to check motive and objective. And if it's not helpful, I'm not saying nothing. Boy, is it getting quiet. If I should start thinking the wrong thoughts, will you just change my way of thinking? Let me think the right things. That's somebody that's walking daily with the Lord. What you think is usually what you do. You know if you'll do right, well, that's your duty to God. If you'll think right, that's your duty to yourself. And you've got to come out right. You can't be going east when you're going west. You can't be going wrong when you're going right, or vice versa. Think right, do right, and you'll be right. That's so simple, but very powerful. It all starts with your thinking. That's why we need to hear the word. Think right, do right, you'll be right. And Christ, the mind of Christ, is to be in the church. And the mind of God was in Christ, and how that the Spirit led Christ, so ought his Spirit to lead the church. And all that God was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he poured into the church. So the church has the power that Christ had. Christ had the power that God had. He said, at that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. You'll find out that God dwells in his church and in his people. So if he's dwelling in his church and in his people, is he complaining? Is he holding grudges? Is he not forgiving? Is he bringing up your mistakes? Bringing up your past? Is he saying, well, I probably won't have a very good day. Probably won't get much out of the service. It's probably a waste of time. Listen, friends, there are people that are not here tonight that are in and out, in and out, in and out. And you know why? They're thinking the wrong thoughts. And they want prayer for somebody to sympathize with them. But that's not what they need. What they need is to... You see, if you carry these thoughts around with you, it weighs on you. You can't get a good night's sleep. You can't. It's not possible. So guess what? You wake up in the morning tired. Isn't that interesting? Why are you tired? Because you're thinking negative thoughts. Well, I'm not trying to. I didn't say you were trying to, but you are. I don't care what the reason is. You have a choice, but you have to recognize that. God is not making you sad. And if you just get out and look around a little bit, you'd find something to be thankful for. We have more than the rest of the world. We use more resources for the amount of population. We're huge resource users. We're overblessed. But we don't know it. We're less happy. It's true, friends. Maybe we'll touch on this again, but you know, Brother Branham battled with this. So this isn't bad person because you're battling with it. That's not it at all. This is part of the battle. But we're overcomers. I would hate to be handcuffed and in shackles and then somebody come along and set me free and me not know that I'm free. This gospel has come to set you free. And he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We don't have to carry a bunch of junk around with us. We can travel light. We shouldn't dread getting around people. Well, that one did this and it's never been dealt with and I'll just bear it and whatever. No, there's unforgiveness there and it affects you. Those things weigh us down. Friends, you can tell when somebody's depressed. You know how? They're tired. That's symptom number one. They're wore out. Why? Because it's hard to carry that around with you. It's not edifying. Everything about it is taking you down. And it snowballs. Right? You aren't getting good sleep. So now you're more tired. But you're tired from carrying this burden. So you don't get good sleep. And what happens when you don't get good sleep? You think bad thoughts. Or you allow negative thoughts to come in your mind and you don't cast them down. I battle that just about every Monday. And I prevail. Sister Baker's my guard. Wore out. Can't think straight. In between two worlds. Vulnerable. And then the thoughts come. Right? But then I realize, wait a minute, this is Monday, so these are Monday thoughts. This is the devil trying to repay. He's mad because he got kicked out yesterday. This is a demon trying to get even. Oh, there's one that rhymed. This is a demon trying to get even. I'm a poet and I didn't know it. Demons try to get even. And they don't attack you when you're at your strongest. They wait till you're weakest. But I realize when those thoughts come on Monday, you know what? It's just a bunch of junk. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to entertain it. And tomorrow, I won't even be thinking those thoughts. And I'm not the only one that has a Monday. We all do. It might not be on a Monday, but you have a Monday. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Remember, Brother Branham, so melancholic. His wife has taken from him. His daughter has taken from him. He's got Billy Paul to raise. And he doesn't want to go on. We'll pick up on this the next time. But he doesn't want to go on. He tries to commit suicide a few times. Grabs hold of some live wires. Next thing you know, he's on the ground. And he's not burned up. Takes a pistol. Fires it. Several times. Nothing happens. Throws it against the wall. Blam! so weary, so caught up in it, that the Lord has to take him beyond the curtain of time, let him talk to Sister Hope, and have her tell him, Bill, knock it off. Why are you worrying about us? We're fine. We're at peace. We're at rest. He'll be with us one day, but you've got to run your race. You've got to raise that boy. You've got to live your life. You've got to keep going. Knock it off. It made the difference. He knocked it off. He tells us about how he'd made himself a complex. We've talked about that before. We'll look at that again. But he had to realize I made myself a complex, and then he had to put that down himself. Because that complex caused him to lose his feeling for the people. Well, if it would do that for him, it'll do that for us too. Well, how would it cause you to lose your feeling for the people? Because all you're thinking about is you. And you're lying to yourself into thinking that everything's bad, or you're allowing the devil to convince you that your life is just bad and horrible. And that's a lie. Listen, friends, it's not for some people to be happy. There's peace for every one of us here tonight. There's rest for every one of us here tonight. And if we don't have that, why would anybody want what we have? You know, if them going to the Wildcat game gives them a little joy, and they can go week to week to week because they got their fix that way, and they always have a smile on their face. I know people like that. I'm not criticizing them going to Wildcat games. I'm telling you, they go and they do things to try to bring some joy, and it works, seemingly. But they're not under the pressure that you're under, right? And if you look at them, you might think, well, you know, they've just got a wonderful life. Well, part of it is that they're choosing to have the kind of life that they're having. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, friends, we need to hear this right now. Because there is such a heaviness. It's not just, it's everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's a heaviness that's coming against you to try to smother the Christ in your life. But you've got to realize, you know what? No. My future's so bright, I got to wear sunglasses. Right? No, God, I have a great future. God has great plans for my life. I have a wonderful family. I've got shoes on my feet. I got clothes on my back. I got food on the table. I got a roof over my head. I got a nice church. I've got nice brothers and sisters. Look at how blessed we are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You have been so good to me. In spite of all, you know of me. By day I feel the warmth of your embrace, and in the nighttime I rest in your grace. You are so good to me. Let's stand. Grieving is good, friends. Grieve. Let the healing then come and flow. There'll always be a spot there. But tied to that spot is all those good memories. And where would you be without those good memories? Well, I wish I didn't have to endure this in life. You mean you wish you would have never got to know somebody like that, that was so wonderful that you loved them and you got to see that goodness? And that's why you now have the hurt, because that's absent from your life? Look at it the other way around. Where would you be had that person never been in your life? God blessed you. Travel light. Don't let the sun go down in your anger. Agree with one another quickly. Husbands and wives, agree with one another that your prayers be not hindered. Fathers, speak good things. Mothers, speak good things. Kids, speak good things. Let your house be a positive atmosphere. Let it be a place where people come over and say, you know, I was only going to stay 10 minutes, but I really don't want to leave because it's so peaceful here. My house is a madhouse. It doesn't have to be, right? It just so happens that you're choosing to make your house a house of rest, a Bethlehem. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so thankful that there are better thoughts, higher thoughts. And we know that those thoughts come from your word speaking to us. If there were no better thoughts, if there were no higher thoughts, we couldn't live higher. We can't even imagine how to live higher, except higher thoughts come to us. We might feel that we're locked into a certain corner in life, certain circumstances, that we can never rise above it. But that's our thinking. That's not what you say, and that's not your thinking. But we have to be willing to let go of the thoughts that we're thinking in order to receive the higher thoughts from you. We can't doubt and believe at the same time. We can't think positive and negative at the same time. We can't have a positive and a negative confession at the same time. And you're the high priest of our positive confession, because it's your thoughts and it's your word. Father, I pray that this would strike home in the hearts of my brothers and sisters. I pray that it would challenge each and every one of us to look at what we've got packed in our kit. Look at what it is that we're carrying on our backs. And Lord, if there's things that we're carrying that don't belong, give us the grace, Lord, to recognize it and to lay it down at your feet, to refuse to pick it back up and to carry it. We don't want to just remain the same. I'm thankful, Lord, that your word challenges us. If it didn't challenge us, then there'd be no change. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you have higher thoughts concerning each and every one of us, and that your thoughts are good thoughts, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Father, I pray that you'd move upon each and every heart. I pray each one of us would be challenged to search our hearts, search our lives. Maybe just go back one day or 2 days or a week. Look back on what we've been thinking about, what we've been reflecting on, and examining them by your word, seeing if it's things that are edifying, if it's things that are helpful, if it's things that are good or just or have virtue. If they're not the right kind of thoughts, Lord, may we have the grace to recognize it and to cast those things down, to lay them down, not carrying them around, but, Lord, to replace those with the right kind of thinking. Because we know that if we're making the right kind of, we're having the right kind of thoughts, and we have the right confession, that's what we'll walk in. That's what we'll be. So, Lord, with every head bowed, every eye closed, whether you're in the building, whether you're listening in tonight, I wonder if there's anyone that would want to raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm challenged here tonight. I'm challenged to unpack a few things. I'm challenged to examine what it is that I'm carrying. I'm challenged to take the thoughts that I've been thinking and run them through the filter of your word and see if it's something that I should be meditating on. And if not, Lord, I don't want to think those thoughts anymore. But I need your help. And Lord, I want you to convict me. I want you to show me, starting early in the morning, the first thoughts that I have, first words that I speak. I want to examine those thoughts and those words and see if they're positive. See if there's any virtue. See if there's any truth, any goodness in them. If not, Lord, I don't want to waste my time. I want your mercies are new every morning. I want every morning to be new. I want to recognize that if I've disappointed him today, I can lay that down and I can do better tomorrow. Tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow's a fresh slate. It's a clean slate. Tomorrow isn't connected with yesterday unless I connect them together. But Lord, if I choose to have a positive day tomorrow, if I choose to have good thoughts, if I choose to meditate on good things, to think on good things, well, then I'll live good things and I'll walk good things and I'll have a good day and I'll walk with you and fellowship with you. I'll overcome whatever's in my path for that day because you're with me, even in me, guiding me, leading me. And I'll have so much energy. I'll sleep better than, because these things won't, down in my subconscious, won't be tormenting me. I'll be able to get sleep, restful sleep. I'll wake up refreshed. And the wonderful thing about it, Lord, is not only will I have energy for the things that need to be done in my life, but now I'll have energy to devote to others. I'll be able to think about others because my thoughts are not on myself. I'll have the energy, the positive attitude, the positive thoughts to live my life for somebody else. If that's you, you want to be, want that to be your confession tonight, just lift your hand to Him. Lord, you see hands all over the building. No doubt there's hands lifted in homes, Lord, and those that'll be listening in. I thank you, Lord, for putting this on our heart. Father, my confession, as always, is I want to do better. I want to be more positive. You've given me this key. You've taught it to me. You've shown me. I've laid down a complex that I had built up. I've chosen to be positive and not on the negative side. And I'm checked when I'm going down a negative path where there's no virtue. I feel your spirit bringing that conviction, and I have a choice to make. I can stop right there, keep my mouth shut, or I can stop right there and start speaking positive things instead. And I thank you for that, Lord. And we want to be more that way. We want to be so positive that people just want to linger in our presence because they're filled with hope. It's not darkness, but it's light. We're walking in the light as you are in the light. And if we are, then we know that our sins are taken away and that we have fellowship with you and with one another. Bless my brothers and my sisters here tonight, Lord. Father, may we be challenged and may we take this as a homework assignment, Lord, in prayer. As we kneel down and as we seek you, Lord, we just pray, Lord, search us as only you can. Let your word search our hearts. And Lord, take out anything that's hindering. Show us, Lord, if there's something that we're holding on to that's in our pack that we shouldn't be holding on to, show it to us, Lord. And Lord, may we have the grace to lay it down and to travel light. Grant it tonight, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. By day I feel the warmth of your embrace, and in the night time I rest in your grace. You are so good to me. Yes, Lord, you are so good to me. You have been so good. Yes, you have been so good to me. How many can say that tonight? In spite of all you know of me, by day I feel the warmth of your embrace, and in the night time I rest in your grace. You are so good to me. Yes, Lord, you are so good to me. We'll keep singing that, but I just want to remind you, we have a visiting minister this weekend. You will be blessed. So come, invite somebody if you want. You have been so good to me, Lord, in spite of all you know of me.
in your grace. You are so good to me. Yes, you are, Lord. You are so good to me. One more time. You have been so good. Oh, yes, you have been so good to me. In spite of all you know.